Who are you going to vote for?
Who are you going to vote for?
Join the conversation on 702.
WhatsApp 072 702 1702.
All right, it's time now to talk finances. Paul Rulofser, our certified financial planner. Before we jump into the money, you don't have to tell me who, but have you decided who you're going to vote for? You don't have to reveal the identity, but...
Oh, most certainly. I can't wait.
Okay.
I've been counting it down, Nicholas. This is probably one of the more important votes that I'm going to make, but certainly, yes, I have.
Okay, awesome. And were you happy? Were you happy with service delivery in your corner of? I'm supposing you live in Joburg.
Well, you know, it's not a really fair question because I don't compare it with other people. You know, I can only see my own environment, and I'm pretty happy with it. Whether it can improve or not, well, that's I'm sure it can. But you know, I'm one of the more fortunate that have had a very good suburb that's been well looked after, and you know, the delivery is there. But it's hard to compare. You know, I'm sure there are a lot of other places that just don't even have anything to look forward to. And my own story is yes, I'm happy with it, but certainly can't wait to vote.
Well, Paul, thanks for that input there. Let's jump into our finances, though. I mean, a big thing that is on people's radar now is changing jobs. I mean, it's been an age-old debate. Do you stick with the devil you know and continue hating your work life just because it gives you a regular salary at the end of the month? Or do you take the plunge and go out on your own or maybe try and change jobs? It's a risky business in the current financial world that we're living in at the moment. Mm-hmm. COVID-19 really just wreaking havoc with the global economy, and South Africa's been no different. Almost 35% unemployment now. But what do we need to keep in mind if we are going to take that plunge and change a job, especially when it comes to things like a retirement fund? You may well have a company retirement fund that you've been putting into for years and years and years.
Well, it's very important to understand that you should try and keep your retirement fund in place and not be tempted to dip into it, because the only benefactor there would be SARS, because you get taxed very severely should you withdraw your fund. But not only that, it's not in the cost of the tax, but it's also the damage you do in the future value of that retirement fund, because through the theory of compounding, the longer you keep that fund in place, the more exponential that compounding becomes. And you do a lot of damage. To start all over again when you might have had a few years behind you in that fund, you're going to take a lot longer and a lot more to try and catch up. So the whole idea around there is to try and preserve it. You've got options. You can move it to your new retirement fund with your new employer. You can move it into a retirement annuity fund. But the preferred option is actually a preservation fund, Nicholas. You've got an option where you can transfer it into your own investment called the preservation fund. And there's no tax consequence with that at all. You really transfer the value across to yourself with your own service provider of choice. And you can invest it in anything that you like and just hold it on the side. The big advantage of that is that if ever in the future you've got a really unforeseen expense, and as a measure of last resort, you can actually access it. And it's only then that you pay the tax. The rules are that you can only access it once. So you can either do it all in part. And the part that you do leave behind, should you choose that, then can go into a pension fund, which you can access at 55. But the point is that you can have it available for really unforeseen things. And as a measure of last resort, you've got the peace of mind that you've got this in place.
Yeah, and I mean, this is something that a lot of people are considering now, having fallen on hard times during COVID-19, maybe that they've lost their jobs or seen their livelihoods evaporate before their very eyes. And it was something that that Tito Mboweni, the former finance minister, was trying to formalize, being able to take a little bit of a top up out of our pension funds without being charged by SARS.
Yeah, but there were a couple of anomalies that crept in, you know, and I myself came across a few clients who were pretty desperate, especially in the lockdown. And I think that we should have perhaps looked at opening up those funds as a point of relief, and maybe waived the tax, you know, and not made it so severe. Yes, it does have a damage on the future value, as I said earlier on. But, you know, I have one particular case we came across, a real desperate case. Couldn't afford anything. Lost job. The house was going to be taken away. And then you've got all this money sitting in a retirement fund. Because you're not 55, you can't access it. So you lose your house, but you keep your retirement fund. So there were a lot of anomalies like that. And I think if, in hindsight, if we look back and said, well, if you can, as a measure of losses, ought to educate people of the consequences, you probably would have had a nice access point for, in some cases, to give relief. And then maybe the authorities could have said something in terms of a sweetener or some kind of incentive, not incentive, but relief. They could have said, well, look, you can withdraw, but we're not going to take any tax out of that. And maybe that might have been a solution.
Yeah, it's becoming more commonplace, though, with people being really left with absolutely no choice but to dip into their retirement funds because they need to survive all the way to retirement to actually enjoy something like that, right?
No, true. You know, there's no sense in starving your way all the way to retirement and then you can have a retirement fund. I mean, there was a reality check that COVID brought to us. And if you were short in any contingency fund, you didn't have immediate cash on the table and you had debts to pay and you've got this big retirement fund, I think that might have been a good port of call. But again, it's a dichotomy, isn't it? It has a benefit on one side, but also damages you on the other. But there were a lot more desperate people. And I probably would have liked, if I was in that situation, I'd like to have my house at least paid for. And leave the retirement fund to catch up a little bit later on. That would have been, I think, in a lot of people's cases, especially those that lost their jobs.
Besides retirement funds, provident funds, pensions, that type of thing, when you're changing jobs, whether or not it's been forced out of you losing a job and you've got to try and find something else, maybe your company's been paying for your medical aid. I mean, in this day and age, it's a very difficult conversation to have because many people, at least the middle class and above, think it's an absolute no-go to rely on state healthcare services, especially if you've been enjoying private medical aid.
Well, you want to hold on to your medical aid if you change jobs. And the big reason why is that you can't break your continuity of your membership. The moment you do that, you then fall into the trap of the next time that you apply for a medical aid, and they're going to apply a late joiner penalty to you. Now, that's a percentage on the premium, and where it starts to hurt you is that late joiner penalty stays with the premium, and every increase that you get in the future, and we know how medical aids increase every year, they're not shy on that, you're going to get an increase on that, inclusive of that extra late joiner penalty. So in the future, your medical aid will be very, very expensive. So the idea is to be very mindful of continuation, and all you need to do is go to your HR department and with your provider, whoever the medical aid is with, just ensure that there's a change of the debit order on the day that you leave so that you're covered from day one, and that should be enough. You don't need to reapply if you've been on a group scheme. You can actually just move off and become the new payer of that particular medical plan.
There's always a hidden cost in there somewhere. Medical aids, I sometimes often wonder, are they there to pay or are they there to just fox you into thinking that they will pay and they won't?
Well, I don't know. I think you've got to choose your plan wisely. I think most of the problems with medical aid come with not understanding the plan matters. We tend to buy down, we go for the cheaper option and then don't use it for a while. And then when we do need it, realize that the benefits are a bit limited. And I think that's where we become disillusioned. So make sure that you really understand the plan. Even if it is a basic plan, understand that and only expect it to be basic in terms of its benefits. I think that's really where most people get disillusioned. And I always encourage people, make sure that the plan is appropriate. It doesn't have to be the best plan, because sometimes you can over-insure on medical aid. You buy a fully comprehensive scheme, and meanwhile, you never go to the hospital because you're quite a fit and healthy person. Contrary to that, obviously, if you do have a high need, you've got to go for the more comprehensive options. So it's a question of sitting down, working out what your likelihood is in terms of medical plans, and just get an appropriate plan and understand it. And I don't think that you'll be too disappointed, when it comes to using it.
And also remember, things like benefit programs, you're thinking about Vitality, only sign up for those things if you actually use them.
Well, definitely. You know, so many people sign it up because it sounds well. You know, you look at all the benefits you can get, and it's just like a gym contract. Most people start out very nicely with it, and then 2 or 3 months later, you know, it's another story. But yes, Vitality is it's a wonderful program if you get to know it. However, at the same time, if you don't use it, it's going to cost it. All you're doing is putting money into a pool and funding all the other people that are using it. So be very careful. You can save yourself quite a lot if it's not for you. But on the other hand, if you've got it, get involved with it because it can unlock certain benefits for you as well.
Let's talk about insurance because another thing when it comes to employer-employee relationships, so some employers offer all sorts of insurance, be it funeral cover, life assurance, and if you're changing, well, obviously your employer doesn't need to pay for it anymore, and you need to make that decision about whether or not you need to keep up the payments.
Well, this is a very important point, and probably one of the lesser-known options. If you're on a group scheme, generally you've got what we call a conversion option. You can take your benefits that you have on the scheme and take them and transfer them to a certain life insurance policy with all those benefits on it for which you can start paying. Just much like your medical aid, you become the payer of it. So it can convert to a freestanding life insurance policy. And where that becomes important is that if you're not insurable because perhaps you've been with the company for a long time and you've acquired certain ailments along the way, which insurance companies will find very hard for you to extend cover to. If you are in that space where you're not insurable in particular, you may very well want to benefit from that because you can take this conversion across to the new life insurance policy without any medicals. They're not going to look for medical evidence because you're from that scheme straight across to the new one. The benefits have already been applied for and accepted by them. So for the unhealthy person or that someone who's sickly or perhaps is ill and cannot get future life cover and other benefits, you may very well want to do that because you will be assured that those benefits will continue on the new policy. Difference, obviously, is that you've got to start paying for it.
Yeah, best advice, I suppose, is to try and sit down with a financial advisor at some point and try and answer these difficult questions.
Yeah, very much so. They are technical. There are processes that have to take place to do all these conversions. And you'll need to have someone to hold your hand across, and certainly a financial advisor will help you do that. So sit down with him, look at the options, but he should actually incorporate that into your own financial plan to see the extent of what cover you need to convert. And I'd say yes, it needs a comprehensive needs analysis. Work through those options and see to what extent you want to take them over. And I think that'll give you the peace of mind that you deserve when you change your job next.
Bottom line though, Paul, and it is an emotional thing to come to terms with, but you really just shouldn't be living beyond your means. And this comes for insurance, medical aid, and indeed retirement cover as well.
Oh, most certainly. Look, life insurance is really a capital that you don't have should you have a life-changing event. So if you've got the capital, the need for life insurance should start waning or diminishing. But normally when we start out, we don't have the capital. So life cover is very, very important, depending on your dependency and things like that. But you're right, it's a balance between living within your means and the costs of those benefits. And that's where a good financial plan comes into play, where you do a nice needs analysis with your financial advisor, see what provisions are required. He goes out and costs them out with various service providers, and you take the most appropriate course of action there. But don't underestimate it. It's first and foremost, you must insure yourself if you don't have the means should something happen to you. But later on in your life, as your capital accumulates, as your assets accumulate, your need for assurance should start to diminish. And that's where you have to keep your plan on course, just to make sure that you're not overpaying for things.
Paul, how can people get a hold of you if they want to ask more questions?
Well, I've got a website if they're welcome to join it or visit it. It's called investforlife.co.za. And there's a ton of information. They're welcome to go and go through it all. We've got a lot of content, especially on the radio shows that we've hosted over all the years. Welcome to visit that, maybe.
Paul Rilliser, chatting to us about what you need to keep in mind if you're changing jobs, and are you going to keep your insurance? Are you going to keep your medical aid? Are you going to try and keep up that provident or pension fund?